Let me just say what my goal is. My goal is, number one, to speak a bit on what is worship and what is worship not. Okay? And that's number one. We know that we are created to worship God. We are created. I mean, even the trees and the clouds and everything gives glory to God. So we know we are here to worship Him. But what does that mean? I'm quickly talk on that. I don't think it's going to be a long sermon, so you can switch everything on in your brain, go put the TDI on and just get it all in your head. Number two, after having kind of handles on what it means to us, for us to worship to the best of our ability, defining it, how do we now take someone that comes into that door and take them into a lifestyle of worship? Alright? So tonight, it's almost like we're sitting together, having a bit of a monologue as I'm talking, but we're putting a game plan on the table. But before I am putting the game plan out there, I want to say, what is worship? Because that's where we aim. So where's our bullet? Or our cherry, you know, the thing, the bullseye. Where is that? And then we take out the weapons and we say, okay, everyone, let's aim and let's come together in unity. Does that make sense? And let's just stand up for a second as I pray. I'm going to make everyone bucket up. Who went to bed after 12 last night? Who was that one person? My wife. And who is Willem? He went to bed after 12. So the 12 o'clock club, it's my old joke, but it's mine nonetheless. You're not allowed to close your eyes when we pray. Okay? We don't believe in the deep sleep prayer. Okay? So you have your eyes open. Okay. I'm just talking nonsense. Lord, tonight we come to you because we know we can't go anywhere else. We come to you for knowledge and revelation, Lord, because goodness, I know no one can come to me for revelation and knowledge. But as your word gets preached, I pray that it will touch hearts and open minds in the depth of their spirit, Lord. Another prayer I have for tonight, Lord, is bind us together in unity and bring a synergy amongst us. Lord, we're not a big church at the moment, and it should be one of our strengths. The moment, the thing that the fact that we can be a unit, marching together, inch by inch. May your kingdom come in this place. Amen. So I once went to an event with two friends. The one was an Indian with his feathers and face paint. He went with. The other one was a guy from India. Two crazy friends of mine. They all have their family history. I have mine. So I promised to take them to an event that would change their lives forever. So we got in our cars and it took us about 4 hours parked there somewhere in Pretoria. Rain belted down. I said, don't worry guys, it's going to be worth it. And it took us about 4 hours walking to the stadium. Almost got run out about 17 times, run over by crazy people with blue faces and rings through their nose and hooting and shouting and stuff. But, you know, my two friends were totally out of it. I mean, they're like, what the heck is going on here? In their own little Indian style. So we came to the ticket line. It's a long one. Stood there about an hour. I said, don't worry, guys. You don't know what's coming your way. It is worth it. At the end, took our little tickets. Wanted to go to the bathroom quickly, the three of us. Nah. I mean, it's too full. You can't even come into the door. You know, now, this is very awkward in those rugby bathrooms. I won't lie. I mean, you're standing there and you just need a moment to relax, you know, and someone shouts at you, yep, yep, yeah. You're like, okay, I'm just going to get out here. So you just like go out. Thing happened in there, you still have your problem, you go get your seat. So we get there to the usher, like, here's our little tickets, you know, and he's like, guys, you are, and then, I mean, it was high. We just walked upstairs, took a break, up the stairs, and we're like, really, the third heaven, where Paul was, okay? Got our chairs, and just as we sat down, smoke on the field. And he's got this half naked ladies dancing there, doing tumble turns and nonsense. And immediately my friend from the Indian one from America felt at home. He's like, smile and stuff. I know what you're talking about. We do our little dance. You've got your little dance. You know, in our tribe, we all take part. Like, yeah, you sit your little 10 girls doing their dance. We're sitting down. We're sitting just because we were so tired. We realized that, I mean, in this stadium, I mean, you don't get fans. You get super fans. And what that means is a super fan never sits, okay? He always stands, whether his team loses or, you know, he stands. It's either like, or like, okay? But he stands, so we realize, okay, we're going to stand the whole game as well. So, standing up, legs tied, next moment, more smoke, come out, and he's got these two teams running out, one blue, one white, and everyone's like, yeah, shouting. And the next thing, there's a Mexican wave, like the whole stadium. In synergy, and these two guys are like, oh, I love the way you guys worship. I mean, look at it, 80,000 people together at one spot in synergy going around. What is this? Oh, it comes to us, yeah, we'll join in. And they're just like, love and worship. It's amazing. Now I understand why it took all the effort. 4 hours drive, 5 kilometers walk. Another 5 kilometers in altitude, sitting there in the third heaven, it's worth it. Let's worship. And I'm just trying to shake our paradigm by saying that worship is not a song we sing in church on Sunday. The whole nonsense story, I don't have a friend from India, please. I'm just talking a whole lot of nonsense. To make one point. Do you actually believe me? We believe that worship is a song. We make a big mistake. Look, I'm not saying that when you go to a big game, it is worship. What I am saying is this. How you live your life is worship. That is worship. To go to both this could be worship for you. Definitely. I think so. Have you spoken to a Stormers or a Blue Bull fan after they lost that weekend? You say something, you might get something that's in the hand, a cell phone or coke bottle or something. It's not a secret. I mean, but that's one example. Many things today which we incline our life to live for is worship unto us. So just a few things what worship is not. Worship is not something done by a Christian or by spirituals. Spiritual people, like my friends from India or the Indians. That is worship. You put a fire up, a little dance, sure. But you cannot exclude yourself from worship in this life. You will worship something. So if you say, hey, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in that junk. What is that person worshiping? You tell me. He's worshiping himself. He's looking in the mirror and he's not registering. He's like, everything goes about that image. You know? At least the image is looking, you know, I want to worship. I want to make sure I have a boat dogs. I want to make sure I put the right stuff in. I want to make sure I gym 3 hours a day. I want to make sure I've got the right labels on. That is the worship of self. The Bible speaks of that forsook God, that become lovers of self. That is also worship. Worship is not a style of worship, okay? Okay. In South Africa, some people will tell you, hey, if you want to worship, you need to play an organ. Oh, it's not worship. No. That's not the thing. In the same way, we can't say, if you have a funky little box and a guitar, now that's worship. No. You can worship with no instruments, a lot of instruments. I mean, for crying out loud, you can worship without having someone singing. We can just all have our hands up. That can be worship. I need to shake our worship box tonight. Worship is not connected to something which happens at a place or a time. Sorry for that. Some of my words got away in the crowd there. And I think what I sometimes want to do, let me be honest, I sometimes want to exit the worship box and do a bit of living. Okay, I don't know, maybe the weekend. And I'm not rough or anything, you know what I'm saying? But I just want to exit the worship box. But then Sunday, like a time like this, I want to enter the worship box. I want to make sure that my worship, if my perception is that worship is seen, I want to make sure that my worship, My sinning is acceptable unto God. So I get warned, as I found warned the worship leader, of course, and guys, you better make sure that Sunday night we worship. Okay? So we all go out the week, we do it one, we don't have intimacy with God, and we come in, and Sunday night, damn, we worship. That is not worship. We will be missing God. Amen? Worship happens every day, every minute. Worship happens in our decisions we make. Okay? You know what sometimes happens, and I hope I help a few people here tonight. I hope I'm not running ahead of myself, it's still the first slide. Sometimes we come into a church. Everyone take a deep breath. Sometimes we come into a church, maybe a church like ours. I don't think we're really that charismatic, but we are in that box. Now you come into church through that door and you see someone standing like this. And you're like, weird. Then you sing a bad tune, line up down, and then you look again, and that person's like trying to like touch the roof or something, and you think, that person knows God better than me. That person worships so much better than me. I'm shy. You are missing. You can take a break. Relax. I want to tell you now, every good decision you make in your life as you follow God is worship unto God. Don't look at someone else. That's why the Bible says you run your race. Yes, we come together. We do beautiful things together. We are a unity. But at the end of the day, please don't compare yourself with me. Okay? You need to ask yourself, am I following God? And that's why we have small groups and stuff so that we can go to one another and say, you know what, God, now I've got this decision. I think this can be a good idea. That help me make a God decision. That is worship. That decision you make right there. Because it reflects something about God in your life. Is everyone with me? Are we getting a wider perception of worship here tonight? I hope so. Now, worship is not something I choose to take part in, because the problem is I can't exclude myself from it. You worship, baby, whether you do nothing or everything. That is just how it rolls. It's just how it works. We worship something. So just a few things. I mean, really, this could be a sermon. The next slide could be sermon series, but just a few points. I mean, worship is just living my life. It's how I live my life, decisions I make. Except it doesn't count with finances. You can do, yeah. I'm just joking. Worship takes everything. Your marriage, your heart, your decisions, your money, everything says something about your worship, okay? Individually and corporately, worship happens. We come together. The Bible speaks strongly about corporate worship. When we come together in the house of God, that's why God allowed the people to spend probably the equal back then of billions to build him a house. He loves it when his people come together and worship. But there's also an element when you're on your own. It happens both ways. Worship includes sacrifices to give glory to something or someone. We're going to get more into that. I'll just move back a bit before I pull this thing behind me from the stage. Everyone's still with me. I am going somewhere, I promise. Just check this verse out. This is two verses next to one another. When the Bible was written, there was no chapters or verses. It was just written in a straight line. That's the last verse of Romans chapter 11. That's the first verse of Romans 12. It's only like that to help us reference. That's why there's chapters. Am I right, Legion? For from him, it's a scripture that's been hanging in the air here the last few weeks. And I think it's going to stay with us for a while. For from him, and through him, and to him are what? All things. Yeah, but surely not my car. You know? No. All things. Okay. God is there in our braying the choppy. He is there in us singing the worship song. Yes. He's there when we go to the camp this weekend. He is there. All things we do, it's from him, gift from him, so that we can do something with what he gives to us so that he may look good. And that's worship. And I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I want you just to note those two words I highlighted, glory and sacrifice. I'm just giving you guys a bit of a deeper understanding of worship. Some of the stuff you know, but I just want us to have handles on it. See those three words, worship, what worship is, glory and sacrifice. And I want to show you that the three of them actually works together in a way. If you're going to worship something, automatically glory and making sacrifices are going to be a part of it. I'm not saying that worship is equal to glory and worship is equal to sacrifice. No, no, no. What I'm saying is sacrifices and worship plays a part when it comes to worship, sacrifice, and glory. Now, glory is this. It's hard to describe glory. I can't show it to you. Sorry, I don't have a picture of glory. I haven't taken it yet. But the next slide, the best way I can describe it is, it's when we speak of weightiness, importance, preeminence, priority, that which is our treasure. Okay? Think about it that way. Longing or fountain of hope. Right? Let me spell it out. When we worship food, I'm going to give us a few examples. And it happens, right? What we do is we put food up in a position and we give it glory, importance, preeminence, priority over other things. And we long for it. All right? We give glory to it, so it is possible to worship food. Amen? It's possible to plan your whole life around food. Okay? It's possible to glorify alcohol. Alright? I put it up there, and I start to give it glory. I add weight to it. It is important to me. I have to use it often, and in amounts that's maybe too much, and I need to... And when I go back to work the next day, I talk about it. You know what, guys? Last night I was so bummed. It was a great party. I worship. I give it heels. I'm like, I was so drunk. I associate with it. It is important for me that the guys know that I drink alcohol. And that's how you worship alcohol. You give it glory. Everyone with me? Money. Being self-absorbed. Okay? So everything revolves around, hey, listen, I'm not talking about people earning a lot of money here only. I'm talking about people. Everything revolves around payday. Because then I've got buying power. So the fact that I have money, my money matters, I put on this pedestal, I'm like, when is payday? Come payday. Oh, that car that I'm going to buy with my needs. And then we start, it's almost like cloning this idea, you know. And slowly but surely that thing we lift up into a position of bearing weight. We give glory to it. We worship it. Many people will say, I'm an atheist. I worship no God. You worship money, buddy. You Hollywood telling everyone you're an atheist. You worship Jesus. I look at your house and everything about your spouse. You thought about every little girl. You need this house to make a statement. You worship money. And watch out. It's a dangerous God. Amen? And you can earn nothing in your whole life can be about. You can barely make it to money. I'm talking about money because Jesus spoke about it. You can earn nothing. Everything still goes about it. If only I can. If only I can. Why is that guy so rich? And money gives birth to jealousy and stuff. Okay, you with me? It's easy. It's easy to worship money. That's why Jesus warned. He's going to only worship one God. Guys, we worship pleasure. Okay? I think it goes with money. Everything that makes me feel good. What's a smart name? Worship of pleasure. Yeah, hedonism. Everything that makes me feel good is God. I plan my whole life around good decisions. You know what happens? When my wife at one stage don't make me feel good anymore, it's time for me to move on. And it makes perfect. Have you watched Seven the Lion? okay? I watch it only once, people. Okay, so what is, listen, you'll see now how long ago I watched Daisy with Jan Hinder. They were married, right? I was in school back then. So she's leaving the guy who's, we don't love one another. This doesn't feel good anymore. And everyone, my mom and my dad and my sister back then, was like, poor Daisy, you need to get out of that marriage. It's the worship of pleasure. And then the radio comes up and he's been having the girls like a society. I mean, it's the one, the other. And every time it's through love. And whichever way we feel, and we have a Bible scripture ready. I can do all things from Christ. I'm going to divorce you. I mean, what's up with that? Okay? People say stuff like that. Am I wrong? Am I right? We can put sex in a position of glory. Okay? That's a topic that I'm not going to skip. You just better be ready for it. I'm not shy to talk of it. But what happens to many men, let me talk about guys, I know guys, what happens to many men is there's a desire for sex. What is the next thing? Pornography. So, when no one's looking, I go there. I adore that, what I see, and I put it up high in my life. I esteem it. And slowly but surely, I give more weight, more worship, more of my heart. And somewhere in me, a lot of stuff is dying. We'll get to that a bit more later. Glory can be given to cars, pets, your wife, to good stuff, eh? You can glorify your marriage more than what you're supposed to. Did you know that? You can glorify your parents. God wants us to honor our parents. Last week we learned that our relationship with God is on a whole other level. It can't be compared to our relationship with our parents. So we can glorify our parents above our calling. Just watch that door, Kevin. So what happens? Let me just give you an example. So it's church time and you feel in your heart you've got a calling. Okay? But every single church service and small group, you with your parents, talking away, 10 years later, God had plans for you. You visit your parents at other times and when you must come and be equipped for your calling. That's what Christ is saying. He says, if anyone does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, basically when it comes to me, he's not worthy to follow me. So there's sacrifices in worshiping God, right? Thanks for being here in this place tonight. They're not helping me. I've started this small journey on my calling with my wife, and I want you to start yours. Okay? That's what we're here for. So we spoke about worship. I had a soppy story about some other Indian that came with me. That was not true. We spoke about glory. You give glory to something, which is worship. Now I just want to throw another stone in there. The next slide, I want to talk quickly about worship and sacrifices. Interesting, sometimes the Bible used the same word for worship and sacrifice. And this is insightful because basically the way you can apply it to yourself goes like this. The thing or the person or the idea or the hope, whatever that thing is, which you are willing to make the most sacrifices for, is probably the thing you worship most. Alright? The thing you are willing to sacrifice other stuff for means that the stuff you are sacrificing is less important than the thing you are endorsing. Right? Everyone with me? Let me give you a few examples. Now, let me use that same list just now. If you worship glorified food, you tell me, people, what will you be sacrificing? Your health. Right? It's a very lame example because I think today the times have changed and people have actually turned around to start to worship the body. Okay, everyone these days are in the gym, everyone is doing stuff out there. So it can go either way. We're not saying one thing is good, one thing is bad. We're saying all things can be worshipped, but only one shouldn't, that's God, right? If I make my hobby an object of worship, I will sacrifice something which may be my relationship with God. Okay, guys, I'm not coming to church this Sunday. I can't come in the morning or the evening because we've got this dog shows we go to. And we love Jesus, but this dog shows is every Sunday we go there. And cell, on the evening when we gather for cell, we've got what we call obedience classes. It's very important, dog, to be obedient. And so we take our dogs and our cars and our nonsense, and it comes in, and we are just showing one thing. The theme is the same. I put more value on you than the value of the people of God. And so we lift stuff up. Amen? Are you with me? If you put sex on the pedestal, what will you sacrifice? Come on, give me a few stuff. There's many. If you start giving your life over to pornography, you fall into cycles of pornography, masturbation, you will be sacrificing a few things. Come on. Number one, your intimacy with Christ. Okay? You agree with me? Your boldness when it comes to ladies. You're crying out loud, you can't have a steady head conversation with a girl and be a gentleman. Because your head is running away with you. You will sacrifice your marriage. If you are a man and you get trapped in pornography, your marriage will suffer. And the same is true for women. I'll talk to the men. And so there's this girl, another awesome story of mine. And just look at how normal this sounds. Her name is Susie. Susie Q. And she loves the Lord. Okay, she worships Him, man. I mean, when you look at her, you can see she's full of joy. She helps Cornell there at the back, making the coffee and the stuff. She's in it to win it. And then comes this guy. And he doesn't love Jesus the same way. He's on another. He doesn't want really something to do with church either. He'll say it's okay. And slowly but surely, Susie's got a decision to make. And so she comes up with this master plan ahead of how God wants her to go and go out with this guy, and she's got the answers ready when her Christian friend, she's who really loves me, so, and she just goes and goes, and you know what she is saying? She is willing to sacrifice her calling, relationship with God, fellowship with believers for this guy. Sooner than later, Susie's not in church anymore, Susie's nowhere, Susie takes off her clothes, which she shouldn't do, and that will happen when anything else comes in the place of worship instead of God. Now, Susie can come back into church and worship that sports part. Yeah, we love you, Lord. That is not happening in the kingdom of God. That worship, I'm not saying it's nothing, because I don't understand everything about God. But what I know is when we get our bodies under control and give it to God, the Bible says that is your spiritual sacrifice. Okay? My point is, worship goes far beyond a song. Are we together? Is it making sense? And just to have that verse up again, the next verse, just to show us, just reiterate that point again, that to Him be the glory, to give glory to God. Paul was on his knees, I can almost see it, and said, I appeal to you, brothers, give your body a sacrifice. It's not going to be possible to give glory to God without giving sacrifices. So be ready. And I think these people saw some of their friends being murdered for following Christ, and they said, that was what Paul was speaking about. He said, there's going to be sacrifices. You know what? I don't think in South Africa someone's going to kill us for being a Christian. I don't know, maybe your neighbor hates you or something. But there will be certain sacrifices when it comes to following Christ and your decision and how you work your life. Everyone, that's common sense, amen? I'm just going over it again. I'm just making sure we Understand that. Now, we're drawing to a point here. Martin Luther said something super obvious, but super amazing. This is worth tweeting. The next slide. Just look at the first line, or first two commandments. I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And you know what Martin Luther said? He said, if the first commandment is kept, guess what? You'll keep all the others. If you get it right to put God there, you love him with all your heart and all your soul and all that is within you. One of the other commandments is adultery. I'm using an example again. So there comes an opportunity. There's this U50, she's 19, and she's like, all that stuff. And then you're like, hey, I've got God. I'm worshiping. And you don't even blink. You're not even distracted. You're like, Lord, just help that little girl because just that she gets to you and there's no other marriage. And you walk because it's so easy for you. There's no deceiving it because God is on there. If a sexual perversion or sexual stuff is what you worship, it will come down to a point where you might leave your wife because there's a new opportunity. And you can talk it as good as you want. You just left your wife. But because the wrong thing was worshipped, if God was on the throne, it would have been easy. Easier among your friends. Maybe you think you worship God, but in this case, as example, you actually worship yourself. You worship the person in the mirror. So what happens is, your friend asks you to do something, you forget to do it. This is a small little example. So your friend's like, did you do it? And there's other people that you're like, yeah, I did it. I don't know why it's not done. I did it. Because you lie. Because it's so important for you to make sure you're up there. You worship yourself. Did you leave my gate open? My dogs got out and they ran over my cars. No. I closed that gate. I promise you, I closed that gate. You can't tell the truth. You can't say, listen, I'm terribly sorry. I messed up. Because that would be crashing your idol to the ground. It's important for you to be esteemed. Everyone with me? So that's a stupid example, but it's still true. The moment something else comes up there, it's easier to start missing God. We're not into the Ten Commandments and checking up people. I'm just using an example. We believe that when we follow Jesus, the Ten Commandments is easy stuff. We do it by itself. And then we ask God to help us do more. Amen? Now, here is this situation that I've just explained to us, unfolding in Romans 1, the next slide. Paul, thank you so much. Check this out. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him. Instead, their thoughts turned to worthless things. Something that we may think is actually quite valuable, like the nicest, most expensive gedropte car in the world. Okay? You know, that car's number plate doesn't even come down to the gates of heaven. It counts as a worthless thing. Okay? So people take these worthless things and they make an exchange. And they take God off, has put that thing up there. Though claiming to be wise, they became fools. And exchange the glory of the immortal God for images that look like mortal human beings, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Whether it's a little thing that you make and you worship, whether it's something that we can't see, maybe it's a relationship, whatever that thing is we put up, that is the thing that we worship. For this reason, God delivered them to sexual impurity, they followed the lust of their hearts and dishonored their bodies with one another. And then the last verse, they exchanged God's truth for a lie and worshipped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The this is a weighty passage. Now we're just changing gears. Now, what am I on about? I'm on to the worshipping of God in our hearts the best we can. I'm asking the question, someone comes into that door. Some of us have very bad history with church. We're actually very uncomfortable with church because maybe our parents always hurt the church, or the church hurt us, or we make you feel the church just takes your money. I don't know what. But now we want to help you to worship God. I mean, if you've never worshipped God, you don't have a cooking clue what worship is. You think, remember, worship is what makes you feel good. So you take that in here, you come with the best of intention, and that first night you worship and you feel good. And you're like, okay, God is with me. The next day, the enemy comes for you. You don't feel good. Now God is bad. The next day, you feel good. Someone prays for you, you feel great. The next day, someone breaks into your house. You're like, I want to live. God is bad. Because your perception of worship is what it was out there. And what we know is we go through good times and terribly bad times, and God wants to be with us through them all. Amen? So now we need to shift that mind into a God perspective. To worship God is different than to worship anything else. Because anything else that I worship, I kind of switch it on and off when I want to. I think I'm in control. But now worshiping God, I'm coming and I'm submitting myself to Him. I'm saying, okay, teach me about that totally different kingdom. And then God says, if you want to be the best, you must be the least. Okay? So that's what I'm on about. And now I want to look at Jesus' example of telling disciples to worship God. Okay? This is where we're going to get practical. Next verse. This is Jesus. The Word, that's Him. Became flesh. That Word, and dwelt amongst us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. Another verse that's been swinging in our church last month. He dwelt amongst the people. But why is that important for us? I don't know how to worship God, and you don't know how to worship God, but we've got the heart. You know what? Many people start off with the best of hearts, and we need to open our hearts, our lives, our homes, and our church for them. We need to show them how to worship God. That's exactly what Jesus did. He came and He lived in the middle of the disciples. He ate with them. He slept there. He spoke to them. He rose. There was times when He left them to go and pray. It's everything just adding up to this. Look at what Jesus is doing. Look at, oh, this is how we worship God. Thank you, Jesus, for the example. Because He dwelled there. I'm sure there was times when He cried. The Bible said He cried when Lazarus died. So there was times when He felt naked before the people and vulnerable. But He was there. There was times when He was bold. There was times when He was mad. He took a whip. And the whole time the disciples are there and they're getting this full picture. This is how I worship God. And Jesus says, I do nothing unless the Father does. Now I have to take us back to that verse that all things are from Him and to Him. Then it comes together. Like the way He lived, the way He spoke, the way He ate, everything became worship. What does it mean for us? Some of the leaders have heard what I'm about to say now, and I've heard the boy repeat something, the better it'll work, so here we go. Just go to the next verse as well. Yeah. I mentioned that already. So what we are moving towards, what we are thinking about a lot is this, our game plan in making disciples of this church. If we go on, Paul, thank you. What we had in the past and what we still have is what I believe is probably one of the best church curriculums there is. I mean, the next slide, we've got this stuff. Thanks to the guys at the headquarters giving us everything. we've got foundation. This morning we had foundation. We had a great time. We were speaking about how you can be saved and how great it is. And we were speaking about the Holy Spirit, gifts of miracles and stuff. Where does it fit in? We spoke about that stuff. Foundation two, we're going to talk about church. Why are we here? What is church? How does it work? How do God see the church? Then we get freaky. We go into our past and we forgive our parents at foundation three. And we become loose and we become so freaky that someone can actually marry us. Because we just forgiven everyone and we just come into a place. Then foundation four, we actually worship and we trust the Lord for deliverance. We've got it all. Bible school, church, camps. I mean, it's all here. But you know what happens? There's a type of person that becomes a very solid disciple. And let me call it the resonance effect. I think maybe that's why I stand here today. The person that grows the fastest and the most mature is the one who lives amongst other believers. I got saved in just before my first year in Hayes Mareva. I basically stayed like Jesus stayed with the disciples with believers. I mean, we prayed together every day, shared scripture, and I grew like this. And what I found in Shofar's, we've got all this stuff, and people show good fruit when they do it, but those who go all the way to the top is those who find themselves sharing their lives with other disciples. Who agrees with me? Who has seen that? Okay? And I'm thinking, how do we help one another to create that culture? Listen, I don't want anyone to move in with my wife and I, please. I've got a beautiful wife. She's going to be mad at me if I have 20 of you staying in our living room, eating our pup and stuff. That's not what I'm going, don't worry. I don't have some other freaky idea. What I'm saying is that we are thinking about having our lives come together. Okay? And this is our game plan. So number one, we've got the goods. We've got the encounters. We've got the knowledge. Number two, we're moving over to the heart. And this is what we're starting to introduce. Some of us have been doing this. And we're saying, anyway, let's walk together as we grow. Let's talk about our growth process with one another. And in a way, it happens in small group, especially when I haven't even been to the small groups here. I'm still getting to it. But you get good small groups and you get bad small groups, let's be honest. And in a very good small group, this kind of thing actually happens. But we are starting to implement something that's going to make every member of ministry minister. This is how it works. And instead of just hearing the stuff, we want to do stuff together so that we can hear it and see it lived. Okay? Instead of just showing, just telling, we want to show. Right? And instead of judging someone and saying, oh, that person, we want to rather understand. Why is that person looking like that? And not, we want to understand. We want to get our lives together, right? And the tool works more or less like this. This previous slide, please. Now, can you please hand out those pages for me? I think, the leaders, if you can just skip on this hanging out. I've got 35, I think there's just more than 35 people. So this is what we've been doing, some of the small group leaders and some of the leaders in church. This is not rocket science. But what I found is, if we want to get something done, we must be intentional about it. Alright? Now if you look at the first page, I can have one as well. Just lift up your page quickly. This one. Okay. So what we do is we have started what we call accountability groups. You see, now we're getting to a bit of a orientation here. I just quickly wrote this, you can change it. And what we say is, for us to become worshippers of God, okay, I want you to look at me, I'm going to take you through the paper step by step, okay? For us to become true worshippers of God, there is a few things we need to be able to do. We need to read the Word of God. We can't just hear a sermon. You need to read the Word for yourself, okay? And then you need to acquire the skill of reading something. Now, let's read the Bible. If someone has a problem with his brother, go to him, right? Now you realize that the first time you read the Bible, you're like, oh my, I have a problem with this person. I've been speaking to everyone except him. Okay? Now, we want to teach you, if you read a piece of scripture, how to make it your own and put it in your heart. But I can talk about it here, but then I just tell you, I need to show one another. So we've got this accountability group, and what we did in Cape Town, this is our story, is we met on the Thursday before work. We said, okay guys, we don't see it as something on the church program, listen, it's not forced. We see small group more as something that we want you to go. If you want to do this, you can do this if you want to grow. And we met up on the Thursday morning. The first thing we did is, the previous week, we decided on a Bible book. We started with those smaller books, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, James, and we wrote that book out, like chapter 1, and I make my notes, I'm like, this is what I feel. And then the whole book is like 5 chapters. And then the Thursday morning, we would sit together, we'd have our notes out, and we would say, okay guys, we all read the same book, chapter 1. What spoke to you here? Now there was one guy, I mean, he was a believer, he backslid, he came back, so there was that guy, there was an on fire guy, he knew the God, and there was a guy that was really young. And now this young guy had the opportunity to bring his opinion of scripture into a group. And so we spoke, I said, you know, James chapter 1 really challenged me. You know, but you know what, where it says, we must ask for wisdom, and God will give it. I realized I never asked. And now the guy's like, we're going to cover you, we're going to pray for you, because you must make that scripture your own. And so we teach one another what to do with scripture. Just like Jesus dwelt amongst. I mean, 1 meeting a week is actually good for a start, because what happens is you start to pray together, start to jog together, and you start to come together around the disciplines of God. We don't cappuccino and maybe say something about church was great and go back. No, we come in to discuss the Word of God. The second thing we did is, some of the people that have very successful churches today, they say we teach our people 2 things. Read the Bible, pray. That's it. The second thing we do is we pray. So we encourage one another, pray for every person in your little group, and then write something for them, something you prayed, maybe you feel the Lord is saying something, give it to them, but let's exercise to pray. Now someone says, listen, I don't know, pray for other people. Hey, you're at the right place. That's why we're here, teaching one another what to do with scripture, how to pray. As we grow more fond of one another, by the way, girls and guys, not men, and we start to talk about guys' stuff, listen guys, I've really been struggling with pornography or whatever. Cover me, because I'm drawing a line in the sand. Alright? And then the whole reason we come together is we say we want to reproduce. Now, what makes this different than a small group is, a small group goes on forever. Okay? It multiplies, it goes. This thing is only 6 weeks. If you're new in this church, you come to me, you say, listen, I need to hook up with someone 6 weeks. You know why? Because after 6 weeks, you will have 2 friends who wants to join. And you've got the opportunity to share the word with someone. Every member of the ministry. Carl, where's Carl? Carl is a small group leader. You know what happens in small group most of the time? He's the leader, so he will initiate. And you will have to go with him. Which is good. Teaches you to be humble. In this group, there is 3 or 4 people, and everyone can bring their share about what they're in. Okay? It's about dwelling together. It's about sharing life, sharing in scripture. Okay? Now, the benefit of this is suddenly we've got 50 potential small group leaders in our church. Because every single person, well, those who joined an accountability group, read the word and gained confidence. And they can come up to me and say, you know what, Vanna? I never fancied myself as a small group leader, but being in this accountability group, I've realized that I'm actually quite comfortable speaking about scripture. I love it. And the group thing, it was amazing. So now you go to Carl because you're in a small group. You say, you know what, Carl, I want to have your back. If you go away for a week, I volunteer. So we start to work together. Are you with me? So maybe you want to do it, maybe not. You've got the page, do it as you like. At the back, we've got 3 goals. What we did is we said, we want to have 3 goals, and within 6 weeks, I want to achieve my goal. Because normally we have something like one day, I want to preach. No, no, no. Forget about one day, 6 weeks. What are you struggling with? Yeah, I'm struggling to spend time with God. Your goal is every day, 30 minutes with God. If you go back to your friends, the first thing they'll ask is, listen, because you write down each other's goals. You say 30 minutes with God. We want to hold you accountable. We love you. We care for you. How did it go? You know what? I had the best week. Spend time with God. Thanks for holding me accountable. I pray with me. So now, when someone comes into that door, this is actually stupid that we have to make little groups like this. This is something that should happen by itself. This is discipleship right here. What I'm doing is, we are kickstarting something that's going to become part of us. When someone comes in, can we go for lunch? Can we talk? Yeah, but do they like church? Do they want to join? Yes, they want to join. Do they want to be a part of your accountability group? Come. We read scripture, we talk about scripture, we pray for one another. That person's got a friend, that person's got someone to read scripture with, and you know what? Everything you do in this group, you take back to church. You say, guys, we're not starting a new small group, we're only here for 6 weeks. Everything we do here must benefit small group. Everything we do here must benefit church. We're raising more leaders. Everyone with me? Okay, let's go on. We're almost done. Why? Just take us back to the start. We want to make worshippers that worships God with their lives. So we're starting something where we want to say, guys, we want to be more involved with each other's lives. Because worship is living, right? And if you want to get it right, you need to be able to take scripture and do something with it. This is why. To make every member a minister. To produce self-feeding believers. If we have a church full of people that can only come on Sundays and listen to me, this church won't grow. I need every one of you to step up into your calling that God has for you. And for that to happen, I need to make sure everyone here, that every single one of us has a personal relationship with Jesus. And this is the best part. This is a model for outreach at the workplace. Listen, we are in South Africa, we're not in India. In India, some people have never heard about Jesus. In South Africa, many people have heard about Christ. They think they're Christians, but they're not. If you ask them to join a group where read a bit of Bible together, they will come. And you share Christ with them, and then they realize, hey, I can get saved here. So the ideal for me, listen, you're a pastor at your workplace, right? Is that every single one of you got two or three people at the workplace. They never have to come to this church. We'll open this door, and if they come in, we'll celebrate them. And you at your workplace, start making disciples. Amen? They won't come to Foundation One. They don't come to church. They're not going to come to the conference. But they might do once a week lunch with you. You guys decide, we read 1 Peter this week, and let's talk about 1 Peter, and let's pray for one another. That model goes out. And we take friendship to a deeper level, worshiping Jesus in everyday living, in my thinking and my doing. Just a picture of this second last slide. Was the last one? Second last slide. This is what we've got. We've got church, we've got foundation, we've got missions, we've got small group, we've got events. Small group, once again, could be a very good tool, but once again, small group goes on forever. If you only have 6 weeks, it means after 6 weeks, there's space for 3 new people. So this is evangelism. Small group is more family. Are you with me? Everyone with me? If you have to, draw it up. Now, I see discipleship going in between these things. Remember what I said? Told you the race effect, the hostile effect. You give someone those stuff, church, foundations, mission, small group, they get great encounter, but put them in a residence where there's a lot of believers. They add discipleship. People walking together with the church program. Then, boom. Church program on its own might work for those who are strategically positioned amongst people. And you know what? If we take discipleship out, you know how we will grow? We will all look the same. Dave will bring people to church that cycles with Dave. They spend more time with him, they will be discipled. Okay, so Dave will bring to church more Daves. Right? Theo, he likes to do the exterior, but he's a very romantic guy. So I hear. I mean, Theo, he's going to disciple people that's like him. Unless we become intentional, open a table for any type of person to come. Whether he is like me, whether he likes sport or not. Once we sit around the table, we speak about God. This church will grow in color. Amen? Last slide of the evening. Imitate me as I do the Messiah. That is Paul writing there. He's saying, listen, it's not about me, but listen, lift up your head. Some of you guys will do it. You must tell some people to check what you're doing and follow you. Okay? As easy as that, because you've walked the world. Well, don't be arrogant about it. Okay, if you're not married, I can teach you a few things about marriage. That's just how it works. I've been there, I've made the mistakes. I don't really make mistakes. Okay? But if we are going to make disciples, we're going to make sure our life, the shadow of our lives must fall over other people. And actually, in a way, I need to commend this church because that's how we got here. Come to our house for a bar, come skyjump with us. Come. That's actually something we're good at. Come and join. I mean, Dave, how many people was it in Exterra? 100. This guy organized 100 people to go and camp. I mean, I don't even know if he knows all the people. Okay, we've got it in us. What I'm saying is, let's take a heart, let's be intentional, let's be smart. Instead of running all over the show, let's say, listen, I want to give once a week, open myself, open a table, one lunch, one breakfast, wake up earlier. I want to get people around that table, and then says, it can either help me grow, or I'm going to get that guy at work. I want to show him Christians is not judgmental. I just love people. I want to show them that it's not fake. I'm telling you, you can go with this. You don't need my permission. Every member of the ministry, you follow Jesus, you use this, you change the contract, you do your thing. As long as you do it for God. If you don't know what to do, go to your small group leader and say, listen, do you have something going on here? I've got this friend who wants to come. I'm a bit scared to do it alone. Amen? We started by saying today that worship is not raising our arms. Worship is living our lives. Alright? If someone comes into that door, you know what, last year, I had more success. Let me say successful. There was two guys that came into a church that was newly saved, right? Just got saved. And I told myself, you know what, I'm going to take them under my shoulder. I'm going to take these two guys and fast track them. And within 6 months, the two of them got more people in church, I think, than the whole church invited. Because the one night I gave them opportunity to testify, there was about 30 people from Durban. When someone comes in, the way you disciple them, you will do. I just told them from the start, you guys will change the world. The first day, the one that comes to me, I say, you come with 1 Peter summarized. When you come to my office, 100%, they come, we talk. From the start, the first thing they learn is, I must study the word, I must pray, and they were more effective than many Christians who were hanging around. Get this thing right now, discipling people, walking the road, that will be our culture. Amen. I let's stand tonight. Tonight, I just feel liberty just to, call if you can just come and make some tunes for us. Not a long altar call, a long ministry. I really feel that today, God, like I said, worship is not in the music. I just trust the Holy Spirit tonight as I spoke to have shift mountains. No crying, no lying around on the floor, no. God shifts hearts when He wants to. And I believe the word is out. I believe it will bear fruit. If you need more info about it, please just come chat to me. Like I said, it's not a program. It's just living life. Just get someone to read the word with you. Show them how. Many times, you know what people say? Someone come to church and they say, just open the Bible at Matthew verse 1. Matthew 1 verse 1. So they come to church and they're like, oh, okay, you guys can't see me. like, oh, you know, I've been a rough guy, but I really want to do the God thing. I want to read the Bible. Where should I start? So we're a bit smart now, so we know we don't tell them Genesis. So we say, start with the New Testament. So this guy starts. Okay. Now he's psyched up. He went to church and he's going to read the Bible now. New Testament, Matthew 1. Check this out. You've never read the Bible. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Check it. The son of David, the son of Abraham. What? The son of David and the son of Abraham. Okay, it's a weird book. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah. Okay, that's enough. He doesn't know what to do with the Bible. So what we said is we cannot tell people what to do. We want to show them. Come. Okay, now just read through that chapter. Just read it through, make some notes. We check Thursday morning. I bring my notes, and you bring yours. You want to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. That's what I'm saying. Let's help one another. Now, what I'm going to do now, is I'm going to close this meeting.